listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
All right. It is July 8, 2015. It's the Fakeologist Commute with John Adams, or the John Adams Commute with Fakeologist. How are you, John?
Doing well. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm well. We were just talking earlier about how things slow down in the summer, at least for me. I noticed that Chris is back, and you're back, of course, in full force doing the afternoon commute with Chris. And I'm behind by a couple of weeks. I got hundreds of hours of audio for all the things I like to listen to. And I just finished listening to your afternoon commute from a week ago, I think. I'm trying to remember who you talked to. Oh, it was Jay. Yeah. You, Chris, and Jay's analysis. Great call. That Jay is so smart.
Yeah, he's good. I like having him on as a guest.
You know the only danger I find with someone who's really smart like that? Can you imagine what my only reservation about listening to him talk is?
I don't know. What is it?
Well, he's just too smart for most people to understand what he's talking about. Like, I really have to concentrate on what he's saying. Honestly.
Uh-huh.
I know you can, maybe you can keep up with him, but I have to really listen closely to what he's saying, because I find a lot of it goes way over my head. Like, he makes a lot of references, I don't know what they're about, and I have to look them up. And if you go too fast, I get fall behind. I don't know what we're talking about. In 20 seconds, I'm lost. I don't know what we're talking about anymore.
Yeah, he does make a lot of philosophical references.
He'll drop names. I don't even know who they are. I know they're philosophers, probably.
Yeah. I think a lot of his particular perspective I definitely enjoy, because he's not so academic that he's diluted in academia, but he knows a lot of the academic stuff, so he can reference it and use it, you know, in a proper format, you know.
Yeah.
And that's something you might lose with a complete and total brainwashed academic, which I've known some in the past, and they believe wholeheartedly in academia as kind of something to believe in. So
yeah. The other thing I was thinking about is he seems fairly young. Am I right?
Well, let's see. I remember he told me he graduated 10 years ago from. So he's probably probably a little younger than me, yeah. So, yeah. Probably like in his early
30s. I can't remember. Yeah. One thing I thought about, when you're in your 20s and 30s, you're just sort of young, dumb, and full of you-know-what.
Yeah.
And I often think, how can you be a philosopher of life when you're that young? How could you even study it when you haven't experienced much? I think I'm a philosopher now because I've experienced a lot, and it seems like all the stuff that we research and talk about almost ends up just boiling down to human behavior and philosophy. So now I think I'm qualified to talk about these kinds of things because I've just lived long enough. So I'm often, I know you can be academic about it and study it, but I'm not sure you can, I'm not sure it's as easy to relate to when you're young, but maybe he grew up really quickly or something, or had a million experiences.
Yeah, like I said, he's probably not that much younger than I am. he's definitely not in his 20s, but I know what you mean. I mean, I can reflect on things from just, you know, 5-10 years ago, and I've, you know, grown a lot more just in knowledge from that point.
Yeah.
And it's a process. It's funny because I remember getting a guitar lesson, and I was already ahead of myself mentally in playing, but I couldn't physically pull off what I wanted to do. And
yeah.
I didn't have the understanding of how to apply what I was learning. And I remember my teacher telling me, well, I know you think you understand it. You know, just because like, let's say you have the knowledge of something doesn't necessarily mean that you understand how to apply it correctly. And that comes, and there's only one thing that can do that, and that is time.
Right.
Time is the reason why you come into an understanding of how to apply knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it could be just because you've seen so many things, or you've seen something, let's say something at your job. You're trying to teach somebody how to do something. It's through repetition, but it's not only repetition. It's just because of you mature in that particular position, you know?
Yeah. Well, I enjoyed his conversation. He's a really smart guy. Interesting to talk to. I haven't seen most of the movies he referenced. I usually write them down to see if I can go see them. It's the same with that Tom Secker guy. I don't watch a lot of those movies. And now they make me interested after they discuss them. So now I usually download them and try and watch them.
Yeah.
If I can. Just to see what without knowing the movies, it's really hard to follow along on the points. But I do enjoy the conversation. He's a pretty smart guy to talk to. And as I made a post on fakeologist.com there, and it seems Chris and him seem to be on very similar wavelengths, so they're pretty good conversations to listen to. So they think they both know a lot about that type of thing. I get the idea that you almost set them up on a date to talk. maybe they wouldn't reach out ordinarily and talk with each other. So I thought it was pretty good that you did that.
I was talking to Chris the other day. I was telling him how when we go into a conversation, I kind of have particular things that I'm thinking about what I'm going to ask somebody, and then Chris is a good conversationalist, whereas I kind of have direct questions, like kind of thought out ahead of time. But Chris is really easy to talk to. Chris is one of those guys who you could have a conversation with him for 5 hours, which I think you have before.
I've had a couple. I don't usually have the time, but I don't have 5 hours to do anything, but to sleep.
I know. I would stay on those calls longer if I had the time too, but I just got other stuff, so.
Yeah, you limit yourself. But it's a good conversation. And the next thing I wanted to bring up, because we only have a short time right now, is Chris's call to the Charleston Police Department. I just listened to that a minute ago, because as I said, I'm behind on my audios. And I thought that was really pretty good. And I'm making most of my comments to Chris on my blog, because I don't always like to go put them on another forum and then they get disappeared or corrupted or somehow lost. So I made a comment to Chris on my blog, and my main idea was, I hope, as Chris does more of these calls to these public officials, that he gets more confidence, because one thing about people is that are in PR positions, they're there for a reason, and they know how to handle calls, and if they sense someone doesn't have a confidence level, they'll chew them up and spit them out really quickly. And I hope Chris can build up his confidence and just not minimize himself when he calls, saying, oh, I'm just a citizen, or I hate when people say I'm just something, because then it makes the other person jump on them like a lion to carry him.
Yeah. Yeah, it can work two ways. It's one thing, there's one way you could do it, and it's like you're saying they could react that way. And then another way is, if you want to get the information that you want to get out of somebody in an official position, you have to act like a normal person would act. And most people are cowering and believe the person in the power position to actually hold that authority. And so the problem could be is that having the knowledge that the people in these power positions are into their job, or into their, you know, it's part of their persona that they're in this particular position. And then you're trying to throw up some camouflage, but sometimes it's hard to mask the fact that you actually are onto this person's charade.
No, I know. Sometimes, yeah, I think what you're talking about is if you enter into or in exchange with someone using the Columbo approach. The
right,
bumbling
yeah.
detective who is very disarming because he looks like he couldn't possibly know what he's talking about. You don't really know his background. You don't really know his level of expertise. So you're disarmed by the person, and therefore you let your guard down. You might spill the beans a little faster or at all.
Yeah.
I think that's what you're saying. Sometimes Chris comes across like that, and it might work, but I think these professionals are just too good at their jobs. And they can handle all situations. And the person that mans the phone is there for a reason. They have a canned set of answers, and most of them are referrals. I refer you to this, you call this person, and then you would end up in an endless loop, to use a computer term, of referrals, and you'd get nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's actually how, yeah, it's classic deflection. It's great.
Yeah.
It works.
Yeah,
Who's got the time? It does.
You end up in this Kafka-esque, search for some sort of answer to something that nobody has. I mean, I remember when I used to work at a real estate company, it was known that if you didn't want to talk to somebody, that you forwarded them to the desk where nobody was sitting.
Oh, yeah, well, with the explosion of voicemail, it's terrible now. You just can't talk to a live person anymore. It's really hard. And then you can go to the company, and you go to the front door. Who are you greeted by? A phone!
That's right. That's true, yeah.
Yeah, I've been going to businesses for 30 years, and I used to look forward to meeting the receptionist, because usually there's someone rather attractive and smart, but now you meet a phone with a directory on the wall, and almost nobody answers them.
That's true.
And if you're lucky enough to find someone who just came back from a break or went out to lunch, I've just followed people in, and then start wandering around the office asking, hey, have you seen so and so? Because they're so lazy. And so cheap to have someone at the front door, they almost let their guard down. You can just walk into these businesses.
Yeah, that's true.
Put a lanyard on for the phone company, and you're set.
You know, I wanted to comment on something on your site I thought the last KHAM radio was really good, going over the basics of 9/11.
Well, I haven't listened to it yet. I have to admit, I have to listen to that next. I'm, like I told you, all my audios are way out of order. But go ahead and make a comment.
Oh, no, I just thought I thought that was a good idea of Kay's to go back over basic 9/11 research and kind of touch on that stuff. It's always
No, I think it is. I think it's good too. I sometimes don't post on 9/11, even though I try and make it my center of attention, but I'm a human being and my interest does wane over time. I have other things in my mind and I'm slowly discovering about 9/11. One thing I'm evolving is I'm just understanding that this is more a study in human behavior and how and human belief systems more than anything. That's really where it's led me. It almost mm-hmm. seems irrelevant what happened on 9/11 now. I'm learning that more and more. But
yeah.
really, these events, it's irrelevant what happened. It really is.
Yeah.
And the more I talk about stuff and look into things, I notice that nobody cares in the general population about just about anything. So if you find a smoking gun or a really great detail, well, only a tiny fraction of the population that's looking into it could care less about what you discovered. And it's not going to matter.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. I was reading an article recently. I'll tell you a real quick personal story. I ran to a guy I've known for almost my entire life. And unfortunately,
yeah.
he went wayward. He's been to jail multiple times and all sorts of stuff. And he's actually got a story. It's kind of it was funny. I was just reading the story, and I was saying to myself, I would love to send this to Tim. I would never do this to you, right?
Yeah.
Right? I would never do this to you and play a joke on you. That's not my style. I don't play jokes, right? But
are you talking about me or this guy?
No, I was talking about you. I would love to send this article about this guy to Tim and ask him if he thought it was fake or not, right?
Oh,
okay. Right, because it was funny
yeah.
how all the numbers involved with this real story that I know for a fact really happened. All the number that one of the guys involved was 33 years old. There was all sorts of funny numbers in there, and I was laughing as I was reading them. I could send this to a couple of people that I know, and they might think because of the numbers that this is a fake story. Right?
Oh, okay, I get you. You know, something has to happen to some 33-year-olds. I don't doubt that, and 22-year-olds, and
of course. Yeah. So it was just funny.
I get you.
It was funny because, unfortunately, the thing that this guy did, made the local papers because it was so bad, and it even involved a death of a person, and
sorry, John, say that one more time. You broke up. Now you're breaking up. Sorry.
Oh, I was saying it even involved the death of a person, it's just like you said, it's a story that wouldn't even matter to the average person out there. Just the same as, I mean, this is a local story, but yet we're plagued by these fake events where allegedly these people.
Hey, John.
I was just saying that this local story, I'm sure nobody knows anything about it. It's just buried in the local paper. It's, you know, whatever. But it is a local story, and it did have, real local repercussions. But you don't really hear anything about that because the TV is too busy covered with fake events and fake people with fake deaths. And even if they weren't fake events, it's something happening so far away from you, it has no impact on you. And you're all the local stuff that really does happen, but is, you know, it's few and far between that something kind of big and spectacular would happen. Not that that stuff doesn't happen, but it's really minimal. It gets overshadowed by all of these big, huge, spectacular events that you're supposed to be scared of and that you're supposed to give up all your rights for. You know what I mean?
Yep. Well, yeah, the big story is pre-planned and pre-packaged, so it's got to have a lot of bang for the buck for it to be promoted heavily. Like a product.
Yeah.
You don't launch a product without stocking the shelves with the reaction. The reaction would be people buying it.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
No, that is true.
So you're saying it was a local story with some local occultic numbers, but...
Yeah, it was this guy I used to know. He unfortunately got involved with drugs and unfortunately started burglarizing people's houses.
Yeah.
And he broke into somebody's house with another guy, and the reason they went to his house is because they looked at his Facebook and saw that he was at a club.
Oh, God, yeah.
Right? And so then they go to his house to break in, and the guy had come home early from the club, so he was there when they broke in, and the guy shot the guy that he was with and killed him when they broke into his house. And so this guy who, like I said,
hold on, your friend was home and he did the shooting?
No, my friend, this guy I used to be friends with, I'm not friends with him anymore, but...
old friend.
Yeah, he was doing the burglarizing.
Oh, I'm sorry, I was getting mixed up. So he did the burglarizing, but the guy came home early, so your ex-friend that was a burglar... Mm-hmm. Shot one of the companions of the guy coming home?
No, the guy came home and caught them burglarizing his house, and he shot one of the burglars.
Oh, okay. But not your friend, ex-friend.
Yeah, not my ex-friend, but he shot the other guy he was with, and so, you know, now my ex-friend is involved in this big court case over here, so...
Oh, God.
And, but yeah,
no, that's not good.
Yeah, it's not. But that's the way it goes.
Let's bring it to a media fakery angle. Is the story heavily publicized in any way? Since you know it's a true story, do you see differences in the way it's portrayed in the media?
Oh yeah,
is there a clue.
The clue is that. I didn't even know about it. That's the clue. The clue is no one, it's not, I mean, it might, it did make it into a local paper.
Okay.
It made it into a local paper. It may have even been on a local newscast. I don't know. But it's not to where everybody knows who my friend is and knows his name or anything. It's not anything like that whatsoever. And hardly anybody knows that this thing even existed. So,
okay, I get you.
So, whereas you could even think to yourself, like, you know, well, if I was in the media, this would be a sensational local
story. Yeah,
right?
It's got Facebook. It's got a surprise. It's got a murder. It's got intrigue. It's good. It's a good one. And the guy's 33 to boot, so they can confuse the hell out of all of us guys looking for fake stories.
Right, but see, the problem was it was real.
Okay. So there were real people, so are you saying they would treat it a little delicate about the story and announcing it and promoting it?
Well, you know, I mean, I guess one of the problems with real events is things don't always... line up exactly how you want it, you know, when you're trying to sell the story. So there might be some.
Yeah, they're not. they're not neat and tidy. There's a lot of loose ends. They're gray areas, crazy gray areas.
Yeah.
There's no real lessons to be taught because I'm not even sure how it's going to turn out.
Yep, that's exactly it. But on that note,
the story doesn't end in 40 minutes.
It doesn't. Unfortunately, our call has to end in 40 minutes right now because I have to take some people somewhere right now.
One thing about you, you're very prompt in your terminating of calls. I got to give you credit.
Yep. Real life calls.
All right, John. Nice chatting with you. I'll try and patch this thing up and take out all the broken up bits.
Okay.
Talk to you.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Bye.
FolksBustersCall.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.